Hello and welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. I want to thank you all for tuning in with us tonight, and please bear with us. We are having just a little bit of technical difficulties. I think we're over it now, but it has delayed us in getting our start here. So if you would just bear with me, I do want to open up the chat line, and I want to make sure that we have our second guest on with us as well. So give me just a minute here. Don't want to miss anybody in the chat line, so I want to get that open. I see we have a lot of people. I am just in awe tonight for the number of callers that we had prior to me being able to call in, so thank you all for that. Okay, the chat line is open, and if you'll give me just a minute, I'm going to pull. Shawan, are you on with us?
Yes, I'm right here.
Thank you. Sorry about that. We've been trying to get logged in, so we had some issues coming in, but we're over it now. And Beverly, I want to make sure you're there as well.
We're here.
Okay, great. And we have Robin as well.
Yes, I am here.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. So let me start here. I just want to remind everybody that the chat line is open. The phone lines are open, and again, I'm just excited about the number of callers that we have even before we're able to log in, so thank you all for that. Tonight is going to be a very informative show. We're going to need, if like no other time, we're going to need your support tonight after the show, and we'll tell you more about that. But we have two guests on with us tonight, and it was not supposed to be that way, but it turned out, I think it's just an awesome thing to do, and after doing it this way, I don't think we should do it any other way than have them both on at the same time, and I'll explain why. But before doing that, let me go over just the housekeeping things. Remember, for the chat listeners, if you do have a question or a comment, you could submit them there online, and I will be back and forth to the chat line. So be patient. If you do submit something there, just be patient with me. I will check it. If you are listening by phone, remember you do have to select the number 1. If you have a question or comment, that notifies me here that you are in queue, and be patient with me there as well. We have quite a bit of callers out there, so please be patient with me. On the chat, with the chat line and the phone line as well, but we will get your questions and your comments online tonight. Trash can, and I'll be real quick, and I'm going to go over this for sure because I do see numbers that I've not seen before. So I want to tell you all about the Butterfly Evolution Trash Can concept. Basically what that is, we at Butterfly Evolution, we are about change, transformation. And in order to do that, we promote dying to self, getting rid of stuff, garbage. So appropriate tonight as well because, as Shawan would share with you from his book, you know, heartache, even that, just getting rid of stuff that keeps you in bondage. And as I go through my daily walk continuously, I'm finding that so many people prefer to hold on to that bondage. And I don't know if it's because they feel like they don't know anything else or they're afraid to go out and just try for something else. I'm not real sure. I wish I knew. I can say there was a time where I was there. I thought, this is it. Life, this is life. But I got to the point where I realized, hey, if this is it, I might as well try for something else. If I end up back here, what have I lost? So in moving your trash can, it sounds silly. It sounds like something that, what does that have to do with change? It's basically more about making you aware of how the mind keeps up with things, how the mind keeps up with even where you put your trash. And those habits are things that we do almost without any thought process. So you will notice in moving your trash can, before you know it, you go back to the place where you moved it from. And as you go back there, remember, my mind is keeping up with things like this. And so many other things as well, you'll start to want to move other things have it to be a just a part of your family. Make a chart, put it on the refrigerator, and have people, have the family, when they go back there, they have to go to the refrigerator and say, they get a point. And then make it a fun game and talk about change. Talk about those things that we don't talk about anymore. We simply almost don't talk anymore, don't communicate anymore, which is another issue, another show. But move your trash can. We've not heard a trash can story in a long time, so if you've moved yours and want to share, please let us know, or try it and then come back next week and let us know how that goes for you. But that's what that's about. Again, we have two guests on with us tonight, Robin Edwards. And Robin, I've known Robin for a lifetime, since she was a little girl, and I'm going to share just a little bit about her story as well, and Shawan is going to jump in with me on this. Shawan is also a radio co-host, I believe. Am I saying that right, Shawan?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so he's going to jump right in and help out with the Q&A tonight as well. But I want to just kind of tell you a little bit about Robin, and then I'm going to let Shawan tell you a little bit about himself. And what we're going to do, we're going to have Robin speak first, and tonight's topic for Robin is Robin's voice. And the reason I think it was so important, after I realized I'd overbooked, that's really why we're both here, and I thought, you know, Shawan has an amazing story of overcoming some challenges as well, and about taking lemons and making lemonade, so to speak, that's kind of what people say, you know, take your lemons and make lemonade. But he has an amazing story to me about overcoming challenges in life, doing what people say you cannot do, or sometimes should not do, or they encourage you, they almost beat you down before they pull you up. But thank God that in reading Shawan's story, there was someone there to motivate him and to say, hey, yes, you can. And then, so when I thought about Robin, I think about her mom saying, hey, yes, you can. Not only yes, you can, but yes, you will. And you'll hear more about that story. But I thought, how wonderful would it be to just include both of them, because they both have different but similar stories to motivate you to move beyond your stuff, to just encourage you that you can too. If no one else is saying, yes, you can, these are two people that are saying, yes, you can. Yes, you can. So I you know, put it out there for Shawan, and he said, absolutely, yes, that's fine with me, and same with Robin and her mom. So here we are. So be patient with us. We're going to get through tonight's show. We won't try to keep you long. I believe there is a game on tonight, so extra excited because we still have people coming in, so extra excited about your attendance with us tonight. For those of you who are popping in on the chat line, please remember you can submit your questions there for me as well, and I will get to those. So before we start, let me just go with I'll tell you what, Shawan, why don't you just go ahead and introduce yourself first, and then I want to bring Robin in and her mom, and then I'm going to share some of the story about Robin, and then we have a letter that Robin wants to read that she has put out in her about speaking up for making a voice for people to eliminate people from going through what she has gone through. So how about, Shawan, just go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us as much as you want to tell us to start, and then I will come back and just give some more information on Robin's story.
Okay. That'll be fine. Definitely want to Just say hello to everyone on the line tonight. My name is Shawan Watson, and I'm definitely excited to be on the show. We've been talking about this show and pretty much preparing for this show for about a month now, and I'm just definitely excited to be on here to speak and see if we can get some transformation over the lines tonight. I am a speaker and a coach as well as an author. In my journey to becoming a speaking author, God has blessed me to overcome many things. He's definitely grown me in mighty long ways. As a child, I was diagnosed with a learning disability. That was tough times for me. That was tough times for me because, you know, a lot of the kids that I grew up around, you know, didn't see me as normal. And because of that, I dealt with a lot of name calling, a lot of hurtful names, a lot of hurtful things. A lot of my teachers looked at me as pretty much special. They looked at me as special. Anytime I mentioned about being something when I was growing up, you know, that if I was like, okay, I'm going to be this athlete or anything like that, a lot of times they would kind of downplay me like, you know, you're a special needs kid. You know, you should really look at something a little bit easier. And so a lot of people growing up put me inside of a box. And for a long time I was inside of a box, and I never really saw myself as being a leader until I moved to Mississippi in 2005. And I'm just definitely blessed how God has, you know, really showed me a lot of things in my life. You know, he taught me how to forgive. I was in a lot of toxic relationships growing up as a teen. You know, I didn't know how to forgive. I had so much bitterness and hatred and anger inside of me. And then as a young adult, he just really taught me and showed me my vision. You know, for a long time, I was a jack of all trades. You know, I had a hard time finding my focus. I had a hard time finding my purpose. You know, I didn't have the ability to finish anything. You know, I would start many projects, and I just didn't have the courage, didn't have the determination, didn't have what it took to actually finish the product. And so me doing this book was a challenge for me, because I told myself, I promised myself, I told God that this was a very important mission for him, and it was also important for my life and my career. And I told him I was not going to quit. I was going to keep going. And it was challenging to get through this whole publishing thing, because I was told I was too young to write a relationship guide book. But as I continued going, as I kept my faith in God and kept moving, God began to put resources in front of me. He began putting people in front of me that I needed to meet to get this publishing done. And I'm just definitely excited about it. You know, I give all the glory to God. You know, it's him that's allowing me to have all the success. And that's my story.
Wonderful, wonderful. And that's why, again, I think it was so appropriate to have you all on together. And thank you again for that. And I want to just put emphasis on your saying, your faith in God, and how I heard you say on another show, when you allow God to use you, he will basically make that way. When you allow God to use you. And it made me think about, you know, from the Bible it talks about the talent. You know, even if God gives you one talent, as he did as the story tells in the Bible, if you get one talent and you bury that talent, regardless, you may be looking at someone else that has 10 or 5 thinking, well, I better keep this one. I can't, there's so little I can do with this one. But God has given all of us something to work with. And if you allow that gift, that talent to manifest and put faith and trust in God and the work into it, it will manifest.
It will manifest.
So I'm going to introduce Beverly. Anything before I kind of update them on Robin's challenges and what brings us here tonight? Anything that you want to share before I go into that?
Well, I would just like to express my gratitude to you and just say that, you know, the reason Robin and I are standing up fighting back is because God has been so good to us that my belief is this. If God bless you and he restores you, then you have an obligation. And to me, our obligation, we cannot walk away when we know these laws and statutes in Idaho are violated by the very people who've created them, and that they discriminate against people. Because, you know, last year when we went to the police department, they would not take a report from us. That was a violation of our rights, because these were statutes in Idaho that had been violated. And so, while, again, I'm so grateful to God for sparing Robin's life, but I believe he spared it for a reason. I believe he spared it to shine a light on all the evil that goes on, really, behind the scenes in Idaho Falls. I mean, because I never had to use the justice system there, because, you know, my kids didn't get in trouble or anything. And I was just living my life like everybody else. You know, I'm a Christian. I went to church with my kids. I taught them to do the right thing. And then Robin got sick, and then we found out the doctor falsified, you know, gave him the wrong medication. Then he falsified the medical records. Then her attorney undermined the case. And then we end up in that justice system, who in turn also covered for all these people. So it's been an interesting journey, but I just trust God that that victory is going to come, and that the light of justice will be shown on all that injustice, and that God will show, he will be the one to shine that light. And while these people are fighting to undermine us, I'm just trusting God, and his righteousness is going to just drive all that evilness out of there.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. And stop me if I say anything that is incorrect. Just stop me, because I got so much information here from reading just so many things about this. It has led me to dig a little bit deeper as well. So I want to share a few things with you before having Robin come on and read the letter that she has written. Basically, what happened at the age of 13, correct, Beverly?
Yes.
On October 4th, Robin had a stroke. And this was just a few days prior to going to a doctor's office, her first visit at the doctor's office. And the doctor prescribed to her a drug called Zomig. And so, of course, I've researched the drug Zomig and found that it is not, doctors are not encouraged to give that to children, first of all. Secondly, it is discouraged, I'm assuming, because the symptoms, the things that can occur after or during the medication. In addition to that, it's specifically for migraines. And it has to be established that you are a migraine patient. And, again, this is just from looking up the actual drug, Zomig. So it is so many things there that, number one, that red flag flew up. And as a mother, Beverly wasn't concerned because she didn't know about Zomig. The doctor gave her samples, gave Robin a sample during her visit while she was there, and mind you, she went for numbness in her limbs and some numbness to the side of her face as well, but no headache, and had no history of migraine headaches. And so this drug, again, it states that you don't give it to children. It's not recommended for children. And at the time she was 13, she had a dose in the office. She had a dose later on that evening because the directions were, whenever you start to feel the numbness, go ahead and take one. As I researched the drug a bit more, it actually had some precautions about the number of milligrams one should take. And remember, when we talk about one, we're talking about an adult. So it has some recommendations about the dosage that one should take within a 24-hour period. So my red flags and my hair stood up on my arms and all that as I'm reading it even more. But that's the gist of the story, and it's a lot more that happened to because, again, at the time there were no red flags. There was nothing for Beverly to be of concern until the actual stroke. Fast forward to the now hospital, because she's had the stroke, and the physicians there, nurses and so forth, are asking her who prescribed her Zomig, because I'm sure their red flags went up saying, this is the 13-year-old who gave her Zomig. And mind you, you guys know this, if we as parents give your children too many Tylenol and take Tylenol aspirins or something and take them to the doctor, you're going to jail. But this is why we have to start speaking up, because this could be your child, it could be my child, it could be your grandchild, it could be anyone, it could be you, it could be us. We are sitting back, allowing things to take place in society that affect us and our children. We are giving up all of our rights. And our children are going to pay if we continue to be quiet. Don't wait until it is your child. Don't wait until it's you, your mother, your father. I recently went to the Mercy Room with a friend, and I was like, this is why I don't go. Because if I'm not dead, I will be in here. Because the lack of just, don't seem concerned. And I'm not saying this is across the board, because you get some good ones. But when I tell you the good, the bad far outweigh the good when it comes to hospitals and things like that. And that's because, again, we keep silent. We don't speak up. In most cases, when you take your family member into the hospital, you have to almost just be ugly to get them to respect you. And then you better make sure that someone's out there with your loved one 24/7. But you almost have to be just ugly to get any kind of respect. It's like people expect you to be that way in order for them to give you or do what they're supposed to do. Where it used to be, people would want to, they connected with people in the hospital. So 13 years old, Zomig, and I want to tell you about the drug Zomig. Again, here, let me get. Okay, it says Zomig is a prescription medicine approved to treat migraine headaches in adults. Only your doctor can determine if Zomig is right for you. Zomig should only be used where a clear diagnosis of migraine has been established. Remind you, first visit with this doctor. For a given migraine attack, if you do not respond to the first dose of Zomig, then your doctor will need to determine if you really have a migraine headache before you take a second dose. So mind you again, she was told to, when you start to feel a little numb, take another one. Zomig is not for the prevention of migraine headaches or for treatment, prevention of migraines or for the treatment of hemiplegic, am I saying that correct, Beverly?
Hemiplegic.
Or migraines. So it says if you're not sure about this, of course, ask your doctor. But again, the doctor actually prescribed it. Now, fast forward, once Beverly was able to get through the process of the stroke and understand what happened, then the falsification of records, meaning it was actually written into her child's record that she had migraines and sometimes all day, that her mom said this and that there was records of her having migraines. There was documents that were signed, not by her mom, but it was her mom's signature. Her mom has since then hired professional.
No signature, but there were documents that, you know, like registration documents that were placed in the file, and they were actually the doctor's handwriting on the document. But
documents,
he selected headache symptoms. He actually circled it. And actually, that's one of the things that came out during my deposition. My attorney and the opposing attorney tried to get me to identify circles on a page with somebody else's handwriting. And I told them, I can't identify a circle. And surely if my handwriting is not on this document, that circle is probably not mine either. But that's just some of the, you know, the underhanded things that they did during the case.
Right. And I guess lastly, we'll sum it up with this, just before having Robin come on, is basically, even with taking a report, and it is unlawful for a physician to fill out paperwork, whether it's signing or fill out paperwork as if that he or she is a parent, that is illegal. There is actually a law against that. And so when Beverly tried to make a police report, they refused to. So basically, this is a world where, you know, we will protect each other, even if it means not addressing it, even if it means that we have a young life here that's changed forever. Just thank God that she has the mother that's saying, yes, you can, as I talked about earlier, with someone telling Shawan, yes, you can, and then assisting him in doing it. She has a mother who's saying, yes, you can, and yes, you will, and I'm gonna go back and help you get some of the things that you need to be able to do this, because here she is, her life is changed. Not only her life, but her mom now has to be there to make sure that she can take care of her. So all these things, again, people, if we don't start to speak up the next time it happens, guess what? That's why it's so hard to fight this type of case. It tells you clearly when you start to look up medical malpractice cases, it tells you get ready to fight, because this is a hush-hush world. Unless they took the wrong kidney out or took off the wrong limb and it's right there so you can see it, and even then I think they may try to say no, it was the right one. But unless it's that visual, you will have to fight forever. It is so many cases out there. I ran across a website today where people are just posting things of what has gone wrong. And them trying to get it rectified is like, wow. Because they have control of the paperwork. So what can you learn from this? When you go to the doctor, ask for a copy of your paperwork.
Yes.
You're paying for that.
When everything.
You're giving your children medication or anything, read the side effects. Speaking about taking my friend to the doctor a month or so ago, I was sitting reading her side effects, and as I got down to the end and it says, these things increase in black people, I turned to her and said, do they know that you're black? I mean, her tongue swole up. She fell out from the medication.
Mm.
And I'm like, and you live by yourself, and they sent you home, and no one's there with you. And then they didn't even check her tongue before they sent her back home. Never did look in her mouth. And I'm like, they give you all of this, and we don't read it. We just take it. We don't ask for copies of anything. And so if you get nothing else out of this, at least start to read, particularly before you give it to your children, because a child may not say, hey, this is really, I'm really not feeling right here. They may just not tell you until it's too late. So that's what this case is about. And at the end of the show, we're going to give you, there's a petition that we're asking everybody to sign, and you can do this online, everybody to sign and at least get 10 of your friends to do the same. There's a petition for the people in Idaho to at least look into this. There's no way you cannot say, let's at least look into it. Here's a child that was given Zomig on her first visit. It's just appalling. So we're going to have Robin, and again, you guys just be patient with Robin, because, again, she had a stroke, and it has left her speech. She's the same Robin. She does whatever she does, she just does it a little bit slower. So we're going to just say hello to Robin. And Robin, I want to just thank you for your courage. I thank you for wanting to stand up and speak about this. I talked to your mom, and I hear she ran for a class president. Was that correct?
No, she ran for assistant
activity
director.
She did last year. Well, her mom tells me stories about she's just Robin and wants to do all the things that Robin wants to do. And thank God that she has a mother that does not set limits for her, and she does not allow the physicians to set limits for her. And had it not been for her mom hearing from God, they really encouraged her to pull the plug. They said, this is over. And if she said to the doctors, I remember this story, I remember her telling, no, I hear life. I hear life when I pray. I don't hear death. And so here Robin is. Here's Robin's voice. Robin, just take your time and tell the audience your story. Welcome, Robin.
Thank you so much. And I would just like to make sure I would just like to speak so that what happened to me doesn't happen to another person or family, because it really messed up my family. And we are still building, coming back. But I recently wrote a letter to the mayor of Idaho Falls for asking for his assistance in my case. And here it is. Dear Mayor Furman, it is me, Robin Edwards. I participated in Mentoring Day, Disability Rights Mentoring Day in 2012, and I selected you to spend a day with you. I was really moved by your love for the people of Idaho Falls. I am writing today because I'm seeking justice. Last year, I found out that Dr. Garland changed my medical records the day of my stroke. He added that I had migraine headaches to my file. I had never had migraine headaches. And my mom even said that he said that I had migraines that lasted all day, sometimes all day. I cannot believe he did this. There is no way that my mom could have told him that I had headaches when I originally went to see him for numbness that I experienced in my limbs. I did not have headaches, only numbness in my limbs. I know people make mistakes, but Dr. Garland needs to own up to this mistake and not continue to cover it up. He destroyed my dreams. I had planned of running one day in the Olympics and attending Yale University. I had just been inducted into the Honor Society the spring before my stroke. I felt like I was in the prime of my life, and in seconds, everything went wrong. I lost friends, trust, and in May of the last year, my mom and I visited the Idaho Falls Police Department 3 times to file a police report against Dr. Garland for falsifying my medical records. We were turned away, and no one would take the report. I am writing today because I want an official police report filed against Dr. Garland and for falsifying my medical records. And I hope you can please help us. Sincerely, Robin Edwards.
Thank you, Robin. And I want to just really, really, really say I'm proud of you. I am so, so, so proud of you. And again, you guys, this is a young girl that I knew when she was little. So this is really, really hard for me because, you know, to hear her now, I mean, she almost sounds like Robin to me, but her life has changed. And it's not about anger. What would you want? What I say to the doctors, to the nurses, to anyone to the police officers who say, I will not take the report, what would you want if this was your child? What would you want done?
And Tammy, can I insert something?
Yes.
Because one of the things I think that people look at is, oh, that's a civil case. It was a civil case until they violated Idaho Statute 18-2601 and 2602, which talks about presenting false information during the course of a trial or court proceeding. And on last year when we went to the police department, when we spoke to the police chief and a deputy attorney from Bonneville County, they tried to tell me that I didn't know the doctor's intent. Well, the statute says with intent or allowing it to be produced. So I, you know, and I tried to tell them I didn't have to try to decipher whether or not he planned to use it, because how many people falsify records and don't plan to use it? Because I'm sure those records were used to file insurance. They sent it to the expert witness. They used it in my deposition, and I'm sure in all the other court and in other court proceedings. But they were just determined. And I went to four officers, and a couple of them were just rude. One threatened to sue me because he thought I was going to quote him. And like I said, when we got to the chief, they tried to play it off as, oh, nothing has happened. And I think the chief even had told me, he said, oh, I'm sure he's sorry. I'm thinking, I'm sure he is sorry now, because, again, you don't allow such a precedent, especially in a community like that. And because Idaho already has a share of incidences of discrimination. And those that's living there know that it's alive and well in that community. And when you allow these people to continue to do this, that just, they gain more power. And then they just decide to do it even more. Because my thing is in the malpractice, the laws that's there are antiquated. They have these community standards that were created back in the 1800s, and at that time they used it more in rural communities because they didn't have the access to the education updates as people in the city. Well, today, everything is a click away on the Internet. So there should never be a state or a city or a community that uses those community standard of care, because that allows the doctors to cover for each other. But as a matter of fact, in Robin's case, we got past that. In most cases, here's what happens in most cases, especially in Idaho, when people file a medical malpractice lawsuit. The opposing side, because they know it's going to be difficult, especially if you file in Idaho Falls or one of those surrounding areas, it's going to be difficult for you to find a doctor to establish the medical standard of care. So what the opposing side does, that's one of the first things they do, is file for summary judgment. Because what they'll say is, you cannot find a doctor to establish the medical standard of care. Well, in Robin's case, when they filed it, and this doesn't happen that much there, the judge denied it even though we hadn't found a doctor to establish the community standard of care, simply because the evidence was so much evidence that the judge himself couldn't deny that this was, I mean, you could see it. And that's why I tell people, my attorney, he has done a great job for that doctor. Because anybody that calls him, he tries to make me look like a mother just distraught and won't give up. But the reason I won't give in and I won't give up, because here's my point. If you have to falsify my child's records, that tells me that something's wrong with you and not this case. Because if a case is not viable, there is no reason to falsify medical records. And so that's why I've pushed so hard, because they tried to intimidate me with these records, and I knew they were false. I felt like I was some criminal, and somebody's pushing stuff in front of me, telling me I did this, and I'm thinking, no, I didn't do that, and you know I didn't do that. But this is what happened in Robin's case. And again, those people do this because they feel they can. They think nobody's going to stand up. And so they will intimidate you and coerce you into signing away your rights, dismissing cases, or sometimes admitting to stuff that you haven't done. And so, you know, again, we filed reports with so many places. We're starting to hear from people and places, and so we're just hoping and praying. And I do believe, God, that something is going to come to a head, and I believe justice is going to actually prevail. We just have a really tough fight because we are fighting, these people that we're fighting, they're criminals within the justice system. And they're not trying to allow justice to prevail because that would be a bad precedent in that area because these people have done this for so long.
Right. Thank you, Verily. Shawan, if you don't mind, I would like just kind of for you to speak with Robin. And I heard Robin say that she had just got inducted into the Honor Society. She had plans on going to Yale, running track, and all these things. What would you say, overcoming your challenges and now being an author, motivational speaker, after being told no, after I heard you say teachers would say, well, maybe you should strive for this and not this, but you saw the bigger picture. You saw further than they could see. What would you say to Robin and anyone else out there that's dealing with that?
The one thing that I would say is that God still has a plan for you. That's the biggest thing I'm going to say is that God still has a plan for you. And he's such an amazing person. You just never know what it is. But that's the one big thing I'll say is God still has a plan for you, because we still serve an able and a powerful God, and he has something still special for you.
Wow. Okay.
So stay tuned.
Thank you. Thank you.
No problem.
And keep at it. Don't lose your spunk, don't lose your drive, don't lose Robin's voice, because there's someone that needs your voice. There's someone who wish they had a mother that is going to go to bat for you. There's someone out there that needs your voice to speak. And so you speak loudly. You get your point across. You make sure that whomever will listen, and even those who won't listen, you make sure that they hear. Speak for Robin and the 98 million other people that go through this even more, because some people never, it's never told, it's never heard of. It's a hard battle to fight. So I'm looking forward to hearing your voice. I'm looking forward to seeing you be the platform for so many, because if there's one child given Zomig, there's 1,000 more given Zomig. Maybe not right there in that county, but in some city, some state, I guarantee you, we've probably lost a child to Zomig. Maybe it didn't get out, but this is not an isolated issue. I have nothing to support that, but I tell you, I just refuse to believe that anything has happened once. This is too big
so many people still alive that you know have been affected by negligence and whose lives have been forever changed. And Tammy, the thing that most people don't realize is, I mean, they see you going on, but they don't know the effect, because it changes the trajectory of your life forever, and it, the whole family, because everybody's life is changed. Because Robin came back home, and she was like, I brought a 13-year-old newborn home. Robin couldn't do anything for herself, so the boys had to. Everybody had to make sacrifices. Mom couldn't take everybody. Roger couldn't go to soccer and all the other things he participated in. For many years, he stopped doing activities. But the house that we were staying in, I was planning to buy, I had to let the house go, because if I was going to take care of Robin, I couldn't work and take care of Robin. And then you go through all these social, I mean, these these programs that are supposed to help you, and they stress you more than they help you. And so you are just, it's like catapulted into a world that you never ever imagined existed. And now you're fighting a different battle, because even with education, I fought that battle with them. And although in the end we ended up on, I think, a path that got Robin out, it was a hard battle at first, because, and I'm not knocking the school there, but I'm knocking the entire education system, because when a child has a brain injury, schools are not set up to bring these children back in, really, and educate them. What they do is they put you in a box with all the other kids with learning disabilities. But the reality is, a child with a brain injury can still learn. They still have that ability. I mean, their processing may slow down. They're going to need different support systems as far as memory, because a lot of times when you have a brain injury, your short-term memory is affected. And so there's just so much. And one of the things that I told Robin, I said, I want, when they bring up, because malpractice reform was in Congress and the Senate last year, I told Robin, when they bring it up again, we want to go. We want to be there, because I want them to know what really happens to a family. Because presently, everybody is trying to protect their insurance companies from paying out, protect the doctors from paying such big premiums. But they're not looking at what they've done to these families. See, I had a child, but what if it was a mother or father whose income was taken away totally? Because it affects every aspect of your life, and nobody's counting up all the costs for people when this happens. And they're just, you know, it's just like, oh, well, you know, you deal with it. And so it's just so much that people go through that the laws and the statutes do not protect the patient. You're just out there. And the thing about it, like I said, in communities like Idaho Falls, they will cover it up. You will not know. Because let me tell you this, I would have never known that doctor changed Robin's medical records like he did had that these two attorneys not tried to intimidate me with the false record. Tim, if they had just told me that the expert witness recanted, which that was a lie too, but I wouldn't even know that was a lie if they hadn't showed me the false documents, because it was such an emotionally draining process for me, I would have just taken it and gone on. But when they showed me the false records, I knew something was wrong. But they do that. I mean, it's like they knew that I knew, and that was an intimidation tactic.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's a crazy world, and there is so much evil out there. We just really have to be prayerful. And we need to stand. We need to stand and fight back. Because if we're gonna make sure our children are safe, we've got to at some point say, okay, enough is enough. Somebody needs to address these issues. And really, my point is, all these people that are looking at it in the system, they know all the wrongs. And you got some that's turning away, looking away. They know it's wrong. Nobody's willing to stand. I guess everybody's scared of the big bad wolf. You know, if you stand
it comes back to what would you do or what would you want if this was your child? So here's an opportunity for you all to help and stand up. If nothing else, you're not saying wrong or right here. What you're saying by what we're going to ask you to do is, as we bring this part to a close, is sign the petition. And I'm going to put this information out on the blog site, on Facebook as well, but I'm going to give it to you now, and I'll give it to you again at the end of the show. But there is a petition out there, and basically what this petition, well, you'll be able to see it. You can go to change.org, again, change.org, C-H-A-N-G-E. And in the search engine, if you would put Robin Edwards, you could put Idaho, best for you to put Idaho and Robin Edwards. And Robin is R-O-B-Y-N and Edwards. Put that in the search engine, and that's the only one that pops up. And all you have to do is sign the petition. You can read more there. You can see a picture, a video of Robin telling her story. So we're asking you all to do that, and we're asking you to tell your family members. We're asking everybody to get 10 people to do that. But if you can do more, Take this to your church. I mean, we have to, again, Robin needs, no one should expect Robin to just sit back and let life pass away now. Why shouldn't she be able to run track? There's entities for that as well. So we're asking you all to sign this petition so that this is looked into, because Robin needs some assistance to live her life now. She needs help. Her family needs help. As she said, this changed her family's life, and it did. It did, as it would any of us. So you've heard Robin's voice. Now we want you to be sure that her voice continues, that it carries. So, again, change.org, and in the search engine, if you would put in Idaho and Robin's name, Robin Edwards, or you can do Robin Edwards and then Idaho, and it comes up, and you're able to click on, read a little bit more, and then sign the petition. That's it. Nothing beyond that point. That's how we're asking you to support this. Stay in tune. She's in the process of creating a page for Robin's voice, and so I'll continue to keep you all updated with that. But and pray, be in prayer for her that she's willing to be used. She wants to be in front and speaking about this because she knows her life has changed. And again, she doesn't want anyone else's life to have to go through this. And we can do this. We can do this. So, Robin, I want to say again, thank you. You give me strength, and I'm sure you do the others as well, because so often we complain about things that, wow, really don't matter. Really don't matter. So,
thank you.
You're welcome. I encourage you, again, don't let your voice go away. You speak. And we will be praying for you and encouraging you through this process.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Is there anything else that you want? And you guys can hang on with the rest of the show with us. Shawan's going to come on and motivate us some more and tell us about his book and say some encouraging words. And we're going to take some questions from you guys as well. So is there anything, Beverly, you want to add, anything we missed?
No, just, you know, thank you. And yes, continue to pray for us as we move forward. And just know that if change comes, it's because we decide that we want change. You know, it only comes if we stand up and make the choice. And it's not an easy choice to be made, but it's a choice that needs to be made.
Right. Okay, well, thank you. And I am going to, before we end, I do want to share a little bit more with them just about the medical malpractice. It's just a few key points, because someone else may be going through this and need to know some of the information that I found. So I'll share that at the end of the show when we give out all the information for Shawan and site and your information as well. I'll give that out some more. But thank you all again. Please keep us updated and posted. I know that you've started to get some feedback and responses from some very important people. So that in itself says that someone may be saying, hey, what happened here? So I'm thankful for the responses that you've received recently, and I think that alone is prayers answered as well. So keep up the good work. And, Robin, again, we want to hear Robin's voice. Okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Right. You guys going to stay on with us, or are you going to listen from the Internet?
No, we're staying on.
Okay, great. Well, I sent you a message. Could you check that, Beverly, and respond back to me?
I did. I just sent it. Do you see it?
Okay, thanks a lot. All right, well, we'll check on that later. Shawan, I'm going to turn it over to you. We're going to take questions. I'm going to check the chat line while you start with your part, and then we'll get some questions in as well. So we did have a few questions out there, but I see we've lost one of you. So just remember, select the number one if you have questions or just some encouraging words. And then we'll do questions and comments all during the show, because now we're going into the second part of it where Shawan's going to motivate us and encourage us. And although Shawan, I think your book is for everybody, not just women. So I just want to say.
I definitely agree, because, you know, again, one of the toughest things in life really is forgiveness. You know, it's one of those things that it takes a challenge to forgive someone, especially when they've done something wrong and bad towards us. And a lot of times we have to ask, okay, does that mean we have to forgive and forget? It's not about the forgive and forget, but what it's really about is just, you know, it's getting peace, you know, because you can't move forward still holding on to whatever that is, because that's a lot of weight. It's like having a monkey on your back. You know, it's kind of hard to be able to move around. So you are released and delivered when you can forgive.
Right. And we've talked about forgiveness on this show. You're exactly right. It is, unforgiveness is really a disease. I mean, really, it will eat you alive. And we think that it is doing something to the other person. But I mean, I have experienced that, and I'm still going through some of that. Not completely healed from that. I'll admit that. But sometimes you take on so much, and I think the very best thing for that is to speak up quickly. So often we allow things to just sit and build, and we don't address them. So the unforgiveness causes so many other issues, and then the unforgiveness just seems to continue to add on and pile up, because you're still dealing with the one thing that, well, something that hurt you before, and now you got something else, and it becomes these little things that eventually become big things. Especially in relationships, even in marriages, sometimes people don't forgive. Even though this is the person that you've partnered with a lot, say I'm going to do life with you, and you don't forgive and try to live day to day in the same house under the same roof. So you're exactly right about the unforgiveness. And again, you guys get in on this, particularly with unforgiveness. But you can continue, Shawan. I just wanted to come in on the unforgiveness part.
Yeah, but you know, this, like I said, putting together this book, you know, is really just designed to not only teach people how to forgive, but I have a lot of instructions in this book. You know, a lot of times people, they try to forgive, they try to be delivered, and the hardest part is doing it by yourself. Well, with this book, you're not having to do it by yourself. I have put instructions in place for you, whether you look at it as a module or a handbook or workbook, and I put it in there just for you to coach you through the stages, that way you're not having to go through it by yourself. And the good thing about it, they're in steps, and the important thing is I have them in the right steps, because the one thing you can't do in this is skip steps, because if you skip steps, it's just not going to work. And it's about just taking your time through each step. I have quizzes and tests after each chapter, making sure that you're ready. I have Bible scriptures, you know, talking about whatever the topic is in the chapter. And it's just really designed to help you to get delivered, because I am a true believer that every person, especially, and every woman, deserves to have a Mr. Right of their own. And a lot of times you may have gone through a lot of bad relationships, and you think that, okay, I don't know if I want to date again, because I don't know if I want to go through that again. Well, I learned a long time ago that, one, love is not easy, but when we feel in our hearts that that we are meant to actually be with somebody, that we are meant to be married, that we are meant to be with that special person, we got to keep our faith. We have to keep our faith because, you know, God tests us, you know, and a lot of times it takes a bad relationship sometimes to get our attention. You know, if we were in a good relationship sometimes, you know, and everything was going good, you know, it's hard to get our attention. But sometimes things have to go bad for us to be able to learn, because life is a learning process. You know, you learn through the process. And, you know, that's, I mean, we talk about faith all the time. Faith is not just the five words. Faith is action. You know, when you go through adversity, how do you respond? You know, how do you respond? You know, what is your mindset after that? And, you know, I just think that this book right here, you know, my vision is just to get this book in as many hands as possible, because, you know, this book is a checklist. This is the book that you're going to need not only to forgive and to be delivered, but this is the book that I strongly recommend that you have before you get into another relationship.
Okay, Shawan, tell us how you're, and we did not tell them, I don't think we did, and not everyone knows, for those, because not everyone has the Facebook. The name of the book is Kissing Your Heartache Goodbye. And initially I looked at it as a relationship book, and I know you kind of have it categorized as that, but mm-hmm. in reading it, it's really about life. I mean, it really is about getting over heartbreak in many areas. And so often heartbreak is kind of that holding on to that unforgiveness, because when you have heartbreak, when you still have it and it's living inside of you, it is difficult, whether it's heartbreak from, some people are heartbroken over losing a loved one, passing on, not just relationship, so much so that they can't move forward, or something has happened, something has been said that leaves you kind of just stagnant. So the name of the book is Kissing Your Heartache Goodbye. It really is a well-rounded, very easy. I'm finding that I'm liking books that are not 300 pages and 200 pages, those quick reads where you get it, where it's quick, I get it, I'll take something from this that I can apply to my life and move on. But that's the name of the book, and it's by Shawan Watson, Kissing Your Heartache Goodbye. What I want to do, let me check the chat line, and then I want to ask a few questions of my own.
Okay.
So for those of you who are out there and you want to get in on these questions, ladies, you know, let's go with it. All right. I'm going to check the chat line here because I don't want to miss anyone. Okay, we're good there. Remember, you guys can submit your questions or comments there, and I'm going to check the phone lines as well. We have a lot of people out there. You guys are quiet. You talk about, and I'm going to start here. You talk about, and we've had a show about woman's self-worth. How important do you feel as a man and in the dating scene? And I also want you to tell us how the book came about, because there, you had some challenges to kind of push you into this area of writing. So also, if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about that, because another visual of you taking something that in many cases will stop people, whether you said, okay, what can I do about this to help me get along? So a woman's worth as a man, is it, how can I say this, is it more attractive for a woman, for a man to see a woman who values herself?
It's very attractive. It's very attractive because me personally as a man, and this is what I'm teaching in this book, is about self-worth, because I always say that it's very important for a woman to have confidence, self-esteem, and a vision, because a relationship is not guaranteed. And it's very important that you have the ability and the confidence to be able to stand on your own two feet. It's not about depending on a man, but it's about having a man and having a partner, but not depending. But you want to be independent, and so I think it's very attractive to have that quality, and that really is how this book really came about. A lot of the ways too is that I did a lot of surveys on a lot of these questions, and I was very interesting, you know, going through that process as well.
Okay. When to comment on that, I say this too, and this is for anybody. If you have life, if you embrace and enjoy life when you don't have someone, a male or female in your life, if you're not dating, because some people, if they're not dating, life is just over. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to go anywhere until there's a man in their life or a woman in their life. In most cases, I find this more in women, where you won't get out and enjoy life. You're just sitting waiting like, okay, I can't do these things until I have someone to do them with. But be the life, because then when someone comes along, as Shawn said, relationships are not guaranteed. So you can be married and it's not guaranteed, of course. Look at the divorce rate. So you have to be life on your own. You have to have life in spite of having a mate or someone there. But we get so caught up in, you know, I got to have a husband, or I got to have a wife, more so got to have a husband, you hear that. And I got to have all of this. And then when you get that, you're working on getting something else. Have life. Enjoy yourself. Love who you are. Know your worth. Because only then will you be able to successfully have a relationship and then successfully get over it if it ends. So important to have that life of your own and not just focus on life being life if you have someone there with you. So self-worth, that's one of your chapters as well. And this one I loved, letting your guard down and trusting again. So many of us have our guards up, so many of us. And it depends, I don't know, on what's going on in our lives oftentimes as well. So elaborate a little bit on that one for us.
Well, what that one is just talking about is that in psychology they talk a lot about phobias. And what phobias are just things that go on in our minds. It could be an experience that we experienced one time in our lives, whether it was as a child, and we could still be dealing with that in our minds as an adult from just that childhood. And that experience puts a strong hold on you, and it doesn't allow you to get the blessing that God has put out there for you. And it's a lot of it is fear.
Shawn, would you go dig a bit deeper on the childhood? Because I want to make sure people really hear and understand that. Could you give an example? I mean, I have one. You tell me if this is – well, give me – if not, then I have one. And I want to – if it's not the same one, I want to give one as well. But give an example of childhood, because so many people, I think, they think, oh, what happened to me then does not affect me not being able to let my guards down. It's about this person or that person. Give us an example of a childhood ordeal.
Okay. All right. As a child, if you as a child were molested or raped as a child, as an adult, you may have hatred towards men when they get close to you because you still see that same guy that molested you. It could be 20, 30 years ago. And it's that one experience that you will never forget, because that was a life-changing experience for you. I mean, he took something from you, and now it's still a struggle 10, 15, 20, 30 years later. And so, yes, a childhood experience can affect you for the long time.
Mm. And what about when young people, there are very few young people that really get to see anything work, let alone love. Like everything seems to be temporary. It's like we have this temporary mindset. Relationships are temporary. Marriages are temporary. My commitment, my love for you is temporary. What are the effects, or do you think it has an effect on, or how much of an effect it has on those who don't see or have not seen love work, relationship work? Do you think that that helps to put that guard up or makes it even greater?
Well, I mean, a lot of times it is a challenge to receive something that you've never seen before. But I believe that we can invent what we've never seen before because it is possible. And I think I'm a firm believer in that thing about, you know, dating for a purpose. You know, not thinking about the short term, but thinking about the long term. And one of the things that I always talk about is that the reason why a lot of relationships are short term is because there are not enough questions being asked. There are few questions that are being asked because one person is fearful of asking the other person too many questions because they are afraid they're going to run that person off. Well, it's better for them to run off early than to run off late.
Hmm. Why do you think they don't ask the questions because they're going to run the person off?
I do think because there are some questions that are very important because, you know, what you don't know can hurt you because you need to know as much possibly as you can about this person, you know, from their background, you know, their baggage, you know, if they're hiding anything like that, you know, because you have some things out there, or just their mindset, you know, do they want to be married? You know, everyone doesn't want to be married. So if you want to be married, you want to make sure that the person that you are dating wants to be married. If you want to have kids, you want to make sure they want to have kids, you know, whatever it is, like, I mean, whatever about moving or any of those things are very important to ask because,
right.
You know, if you don't ask, you're just going to assume and then, you know, it's going to be a meltdown and a letdown when you find out the truth.
Right, right. And the sooner you can find that out, the sooner you're able to tell your heart and mind where this has a chance of going. So you can't get to the end and expect things to change when you knew this up front. But if you allow yourself to get to the end without asking those questions, those things that are important to you, and this is, again, this is life applicable, meaning, you know, it's just time to take control of our lives and live in truth, deal with our truth and whatever that is. You know, for example, you mentioned being molested, if a person is molested at a young age, and some people have, and they're in marriages, and their husbands sometimes wonder, what did I do? What's going on? And they've not shared that. But that's important because it leaves emotional scars, and something can trigger those. So you're trying to do life with someone who doesn't know your life. And some things you just cannot hide when you're under the roof and living with someone day to day. Some things you can hide them, but there's something there, something your significant other sees that makes he or she say, something's not right here. Some flags are going up here. So if you're in that situation or if you're thinking about getting serious with someone, there are questions that you should ask. And you know, there are plenty of books. Shawan's book goes into great details of helping you understand even what you're looking for. Because you have to know that. You have to know you to know what you're looking for in order to process and eliminate. Correct, Shawan? Correct?
Yeah, definitely. And I break them down to different types of men out there because I wanted to put into a, you know, more of a reverse psychology because I wanted people to actually see. You know, a lot of times we say we want these things, but it's that saying the grass is green on the other side. You know, if you want this person, this is what you can expect. You know, but sacrifice is a two way street.
Right. That's kind of like that 80. Am I saying that right? The 80-20 rule. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
like we think You don't have to do work in any relationship unless you just want to go through the emotions, go through the day-to-day emotions. If you want a meaningful, understanding relationship, you have to know your worth. That's one of the chapters. You really have to let your guard down and trust again. You know, I love that saying, love like you've never been hurt before. That, you know, when you can get to that point where you just say, I love you because I love you, it has nothing to do with you, and when I stop, I stop. When it's over, it's over. But when you start to throw stones or receive stones based on what a person does or doesn't do without trying to understand, the relationship is bound to fail. I mean, and if it doesn't, you're going to be so miserable in it till it no longer is a relationship. So those are the few chapters. And then you talk about, and we don't want to give all the book away, you talk about relationship conditioning. I loved all of those, understanding a man. I'm sure that the men would want to know how the women need to understand them as well. But the fundamentals of dating, and do this now, the keys to making it work. And then you do the interviews, how you learned how women think. So any of those you want to give any additional information on, any one that you'd like to pick out?
Well, you mentioned the thing about the men. What I do in that chapter is I am really helping you to really accommodate your man. In the sense of everyone has insecurities about something. Me being a man, I know that one of the toughest things for a man is pride. A lot of men may have pride. It could be anything like, well, you know, I'm not sure if I'm, you know, I'm working a job. I'm not sure if I'm providing enough for you. You know, I'm not sure if I'm bringing enough to the table. I'm not sure if I'm a good enough man for you. You know, all these different things. Or just maybe he was hurt in the past. Or, you know, maybe he's not sure if he's going to be a good father because, you know, maybe, you know, he didn't have a father. Or these little, you know, insecurities. I just talk about different ways to really accommodate them. You know, I know in a lot of times in relationships, you know, romance can be something that he may be concerned about. And I mentioned in the book is that, you know, if you feel like he's not, you know, meeting your standards physically, I mentioned that it's very important that you, you know, accommodate him. You know, if he's not doing something right, you know, tell him about it in a nice way. And be willing to accommodate him by doing it by, you know, maybe teaching him or showing him.
Okay. You said in a nice way. I want to ask more questions. I need to make sure that Robin's voice is not listening now or Robin's ears are not listening now. But we have a caller, and I'm going to get to that caller. But you mentioned about a man and his pride. I so agree with you there. And it made me think about, and no, nothing against garbage man or that particular profession. This is just the phrase that I remember hearing, that a woman can make the president of the United States basically feel like that his profession is a garbage man, and a woman can make a garbage man profession, a man that is a garbage man by profession, feel like the president. That is so true. In addition to that, going back to some of the chapters that we've already discussed, you know, a lot of that has to do with knowing your worth, already forgiven those before, and particularly letting your guard down and trusting again and really loving the person for who they are, not what they have or what they don't have. And I think that statement is so true. And it could go vice versa as well. Both have an equal, I don't know if I say equal, because I think women carry more weight in relationships when it comes to nourishing, just because that's who we are. But we really can, when we tap into our inner souls, our inner beings, and know who we are and like who we are and say, hey, this is it. I'm working. I'm a work in progress, but this is it, and this is who I choose. This is who I choose to love. and stop it there, then you can give yourself to someone freely, your emotions, your mind, your whole being, you can give to that person. But I do really believe in that statement that a woman can make the president feel like a garbage man and the garbage man feel like the president. I really do. We have a question. Someone is here. And I'm going to check the chat line as well.
Okay.
Okay. All right, chat line, send me some questions and comments out there. Okay, we're going to bring a caller in. We have a caller online. And I did not tell you guys, but the way that I pull you in, because we do have a lot of new numbers that I'm not familiar with, so the way that we pull you in, I give the area code that you're calling from and the last four digits of the number, again, that you are calling from tonight. So you need to know that number. But this caller is from the area code of 478 with the last four digits of 8902. Caller, you're on the air with us.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
Well, I was wondering, in his book, does he touch on long-distance relationships and what it takes and why it's so difficult and, you know, the commitment that it takes from both people?
Juwan, that one's for you.
Well, this one actually doesn't talk about necessarily the long-distance type of relationship, but I do know that, you know, those are a lot of options. I do talk about options out there because, you know, we're in an age now, there are options out there for dating because, you know, you can find that Mr. Right or Mrs. Right in many different ways. You know, sometimes it may be God's plan for you to meet, you know, your person online or for you to meet your person, you know, up close. It just really depends, you know. So, you know, it doesn't talk about that, but, you know, the way the world is today, I mean, there are a lot of online dating, you know. So,
but wouldn't you say in order for an out-of-time relationship to work, the things that you do talk about in your book, they have to be even more upfront and center because dating where you're in different locations, there's certainly more challenges, So you really have to be sure of yourself. You really have to know who you are, know what you want, and be willing to commit to the additional things that come with dating someone that does not live around the corner or that can just easily get up and come over and go and do and this. So I say that the things that he does cover in the book, that means you have to really be on the A game with those things because if you're not there, as soon as the smallest thing sneaks in, you know, there's so much that can happen or that one person can think when someone else is out of town.
It's the most of the temptation because, you know, it's so, you know, much temptation out there. So, I mean, that is always a thing. And I always say, one of the things I talk about in this book a lot is going to always be God and fellowship. You know, God, prayer, and fellowship, that goes a long way in any relationship, long distance, close, or whatever. It's fellowship goes so far because when two people have fellowship together, that's really going to take their relationship to the next level because it just shows that they don't just have a regular relationship, but they both share a relationship with God. And that is strong because that's gonna bring a lot of strength to that relationship.
Right. Any more questions or comments, caller?
I hear you. I just think that I like two people. Once, no matter who you are or where you're located or whatever the case is, right? Is that trust? You know.
Oh yeah, trust. Definitely, trust is big.
The thing about it is that, and it doesn't necessarily have to be that just because I'm a man, you know, it's necessary because it's looked at that just because we're single, that you're out there and you run wild, you know, you can have somebody that you're interested in and not be out there, you know.
Mhm.
And I think that's the revelation. I mean, I think that's a big part of it too, you know. And even when a person is out of pocket or something, you know, it's just difficult. It's difficult, but I think it takes a lot of work. a lot of commitment, a lot of time.
Well, I can say on behalf of men, and for the, you know, for the most part, most of our listeners are women. We do have some men that mostly tune in after the show, but it seems as though to women, at least the ones that are in my circle and within that circle, it seems that more men, even with Shawn, you writing this book, it seems more men are tending or trying to find out or really understand relationships. And I say that even more geared toward, it seems more men are choosing or trying and wanting to be celibate. And I remember having a conversation with one guy saying, it's just everywhere. We don't have to fight for it. Almost don't have to ask for it. So it's ironic that men are stepping back saying, I just want to slow down a bit. I just want to get back to the basics. Because by nature, I think you guys are really hunters, but you're no longer having to hunt. And
yeah,
the women who you do have to hunt, it seems like we're not, just my opinion, it seems like the women who do have who have the standards and so forth, for the most part, those are the ones that don't have the dates and don't have people coming after them. At least it seems that way, and that's what a lot of the women think. So it's like they're not connecting, like the right people are not connecting. And Shawn, that probably goes back to what you're saying, ask those questions.
Yeah.
Find out, number one, your worth, who you are. Then you need a set of questions to ask. You need to memorize them, and if you can't, just say, hey, look, I got some questions. I need to know some answers here. And then listen to the conversation. And once you ask the questions, you listen to the answers, you engage in conversations, you find out a lot from people if you allow them to talk. And then look at mom, look at dad, look at sisters, how they treat one another, how they interact, and what they feel about how they treat each other, what they feel about how they interact, because that's going to become your life as well. And it helps you ask additional questions. So I commend men for at least the men who are and want. There are a lot of good men out there that want relationships. But, again, I think it's because we don't see it. We don't believe in it. We don't have that faith that Shawn's talking about, that we don't, including God and fellowship in our relationships, and don't have faith in it. You don't. So.
I definitely have two things to say. The one thing is that when you talk about men, you know, changing, it really has to do with where a man is in his life. Because I know me personally, you know, I've made mistakes in my life, you know, as a young man and everything like that. But see, it's the maturity of a man too. Because I'm at the stage of my life now where I'm not looking to do a lot of the things that I once did, but I'm looking more in the lights of, you know, the marriage in the long term. And yeah. the other thing I wanted to say is quickly is that when you mention questions, look at your relationship like this. If you go to the store and you purchase something, whether it's a car, whatever it is like that, you get what you buy pretty much. And it's saying that if you go somewhere, I'm pretty sure you're gonna ask questions about whatever it is that you buy, because you want to double check and make sure that you got whatever it is that you went to the store to get. And so that's the same thing you have to do with your relationship. You want to make sure that you are taking home or going and being with the right person by asking the right questions.
Okay. I don't know what we said, but the lights have just lit up. So,
that's what I'm talking
about. That's a good thing. Caller, I want to make sure that we address all your questions and comments. If so, I want to thank you for tuning in and specifically for coming on the air. So did you have any other comments or questions before we go to – we have several more callers that have jumped in, so I don't know what was said, but – thank you for striking some conversation.
No, that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's pull in a caller from 901 with the last four digits of 8714. And for you others, just be patient with me. I promise we'll get to you. But this is 901 with the last four of 8714. You're on the air with us.
Hello, everybody. I want to make four quick things that I want to say. But the first thing I want to say is, for you all who do not know, I encourage everybody to watch the Human Resources documentary on YouTube. It's called Human Resources, and it's a document. It's a documentary, and it's just be quick. It's really informative because it talks about how a few group of people in the past has shaped the way we have think and have controlled the way we think about work, about education and schooling. It will blow your mind away, and it's really to pull out the subliminal things that are going on in our society as to why we think the way we do and why we react to certain things. And again, it will blow your mind away, but it's called Human Resources. It's a documentary, and you can look it up on YouTube if you can't buy it somewhere or whatnot. So I just wanted to get that out the way. But my first two quick comments is for Robin and I guess for the guy who's speaking now.
Juan.
Juan. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Excuse me.
Juan
Watson, yeah, that's right, hello. And I just wanted to say that it seems, well, really, there is no such thing as learning disability. I mean, despite despite the normality of so-called education, anybody can learn anything. It's just that people do not learn things exactly the same like other people. So it's no such thing as learning disability, and I encourage anybody out there that don't let that term control how you think based off someone else's ignorance, because, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. And I looked up the word learn, and it just means to trace and to dig up. And if you're doing that and you're connecting dots or you're figuring things out, then yes, you are learning. So, I mean, it's no such thing as learning disability, for one. And number two, for the first part, it's very important that people, when they sign contracts, and some of you all, or most of you all already know this, but it's important to sign with a blue pen. Just real quick, I had an incident with the police a while back because they say I was speeding, and that's all taken care of now. But when I was about to sign with my blue pen, the lady was like, oh, no, do not use your blue pen, use a black pen. I'm like, well, why? And she was like, well, that's okay. You can go ahead and use your blue pen. And I was shocked and I was amazed by that. But it's always important to use a blue pen to know so no one will forge your signature. So that's it for the first part. Now for the second part with the book and with the dating, I want to make this suggestion. Well, not a suggestion, but a comment. This Spaniard lady that I know, she was telling me that it's not just Spain, probably most parts of Europe, that when it comes to dating, like, she told me that over here, we treat dating really like an interview, like a job interview. But over there, they're more like, you know, let's have fun, let's enjoy ourselves and so forth. And I'm not talking about, like, sexual or anything, but the way she was putting it was more of, you know, let's get to know each other and so forth. But I do agree with you, and I am with you on, you know, asking the important questions that you want to know, you know, because those things will come up. And I also believe, in addition to that, is a lot of us, well, I say a lot of people, I'll just put it that way, are not blunt or just really being real towards the other person and how they do things and how they live their life. It's like we put on a facade. And the last woman that I was with, I was just blunt. I'd be like, look, I ain't really looking for no girlfriend, but if you want to still hang out, we can hang out. What you see is what you get, basically. And I want to continually be like that. So maybe some of those questions that the other person has for me, the other woman has for me, are already answered just by how I act and what I say. And they can still ask me those, but I think a lot of times we put on a facade. And that really comes with us being fearful of them discovering who we really are. And, you know, that's something that we have to get over, and I know it's challenging at times. But the second last thing I wanted to and this is a question that I want to share or ask, is in your book, and I know you ain't trying to give a lot away, but do in relationships, in long-term relationships, like, say, 20, 30, 40 years, you know, in a relationship, is it possible for a person to really change in a sense where they weren't, of course, they weren't that same person that they was with when they first met them, but they, I guess, kind of changed and made certain life decisions. Like, I know a couple who they've known each other ever since they was kids, and they're around my age, but the wife, she keeps saying, you know, it's like I've been with three different people, even though I've been with the same person or known the same person all my life, and they've been married for a while now. So I was wanting to ask, is it possible for a person to change to an extent to where the relationship isn't necessarily going down, but it maybe is getting out of the comfort zone of the people, in a sense, if you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I think that, you know, people do change in relationships, especially if you've been in a relationship, you know, together most of your life. You know, if you've been, you know, with somebody, say, high school to, you know, adulthood, I definitely, you know, can see change. It's funny you mentioned that, because I was sitting there, I was having a talk the other day mentioning about, you know, the difference between, you know, being in love and loving. And what I was saying is that, you know, no matter, you know, pretty much you should be in love just in a marriage just like you were the day you got married. Because the reason why I say that, because a lot of times people, you know, they change in relationships, you know, or the marriage, and, you know, they start off being in love, but then, you know, years go down and it's not the same, you know. And, you know, that's the important thing is trying to keep it. I mean, people going to change, but trying to keep, you know, the relationship somewhat the same. It's very important to be consistent, is what I always say. You know, if you start off, you know, doing certain stuff like, you know, giving flowers or whatever it is that you do, is, I always say, it's very important to be consistent. And when you mention about changing, that's where that unconditional love comes in handy at, because the unconditional love, that's the love at the highest power, and that's just saying that, you know, I'm gonna love him or her no matter what the situation is, like, that, as long as they're not hurting or harming me or the relationship.
Okay, I want to get in. Oh, I could not wait. And caller, please, we have another caller out waiting, but please be patient with us. I'm going to go back to the beginning with this caller, and you were talking about the Spain and how they date there. I can relate to that in this sense. I feel that when we meet someone, we are too quick to start thinking, is this the one? And I think that's what we miss, the fun and the getting to know each other, where we can ask those questions. So I feel like we go too serious too fast, because some people, like, I think the book talks about this, Shawan, like, not everybody you date, you even need to consider, like, that we may become an item here. You might just need to hang out, go to the movies, go bowling, whatever, have fun. They might need to just become your – you might need to hook them up with somebody else. So, but too soon we start thinking, whoop, I'm at the altar with this person. And you missed all that stuff in between to make you realize, I don't even want to be in the church with this person. That's my comment on that, about changing. It's inevitable. I mean, we change. We grow older, we grow wiser. But as Shawan mentioned, that unconditional love, when we get to a point where we realize that I am making a commitment, I am choosing to love you, I am choosing you, I am choosing to do life with you. And with that means that the ups and the downs, when you change, I recall the statement of where the couple said, we never fell out of love at the same time. We never allowed ourselves to fall out of love at the same time. That means someone has to put their guard away. They have to put their pride away. They have to set aside being right and say, hey, this person that I chose, my word, I gave my word to commit to love, I got to be the bigger person today. I might have to be that same bigger person tomorrow, because people are going to change. People, not just emotionally or internally, they can change physically. They can go out and something happen, can lose a limb, and then what happens? And that's why you need to know what you're saying when you say, hey, I choose to love you forever, because it's about the commitment more so than the feeling. Because the feeling, people don't want to hear this, but it's gonna come and go. And that's why that's when the other person needs to say, hey, okay, we have a commitment here. So if this is your day to trip, hey, let me let you have that space. Let me let you do it. Let me just say I love you. Take the time you need. Like Shawan said, as long as no one is being, you know, if nothing else there is going on, then you kind of, there's going to be days where each person is going to have to let it go and let somebody win. So, because change is going to happen regardless. And that sums it up about being in love versus loving, because there's a huge difference there. There is just a huge difference with that piece. So often, another thing Shawan said, my last thing, and we're going to bring in the other callers. Okay, we start off, and y'all maybe can help. You guys can maybe help, because I think guys do this more than women. So I'm picking on the guys right now. You guys will start off being just these nice men, wherever we want to go, whatever we want to do. You guys are right in there. But as soon as it gets past go and you feel like, hey, we're all right now, the flowers stop coming. And what I think about, or you stop, like if you want to go somewhere, initially when you're dating, you say, hey, you know, I want my friends doing this. Would you go with me here? They are eager to go. Even if it's something that they don't want to do, they'll go. But it seems like once the relationship takes on and you start to really start to feel one another and think, hey, I like this person, maybe we're going somewhere, it seems to decrease, which I feel it should be the opposite. It goes back to too serious, too fast, or too soon. It should get greater later. All the extra stuff. So maybe you should start out giving a flower out of the yard or from the park, to or vice versa. But if you start out with 12, where do you go from there? I mean, really, with all that. So start small. You start out with a box of candy. Bring a sneaker bar or something. I got laughing.
Oh, wait, that, I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, you just got me something to think about, and a light bulb had came up, because it does feel as if, like, okay, we'll have a woman or the male, but I, since I'm a male, I'll just say we get the woman, and
but,
we do,
hey,
all these nice things.
Caller, hold that thought one for, because I want to make, we only have 17 minutes. I'm not going to take you off, but I want to get our other caller, because they may bring a different perspective to it. So hold that one second. Shawan, do you have any comment? I said a lot.
No.
Okay. Okay. I hope you're taking notes, Shawan, for that next book. Okay, this is a caller from 301 with the last four digits of 0565. We apologize for holding you so long, but 301 with the last four of 0565. You're on the air with us.
Hello, everyone. So many things stood out, but I know I can't address them all, and I don't want to hold up too much time. Thank you all for inviting me in. And I guess I'm still kind of back on the gentleman who was talking about long distance relationships. And any relationship, whether it's long distance or you're in the same area, I think one of the most important things, this is my personal opinion throughout the things I've gone through personally, you can't go through any relationship without God at all. It won't work, you know, long distance, because that trust has to be there. And you do have to, like you were talking about before, both parties have to be upfront, open, and honest with one another. And secondly, I'm ever so grateful for this book, Kissing Your Heartache Goodbye. You know, I know that, Shawan, you have a age bracket there, but I see so far past that age bracket with this book, because I am over 35, but I am so grateful for this book, because it has ministered to my heart, you know, just a tidbit of my personal testimony. I've been through every kind of abuse you can think of, whether it was sexual, whether it was physical, whether it was emotional. I've been there. And you have to allow God to take you through that process of healing, and there is hope for it. So I'm just grateful for that book, you know, for the book, and grateful for the process. You can get through it, but it's just something for me personally that I didn't want to rush through the book. It's one of those things that you read the chapter, and then you go through the scriptures, and then you read it some more, and you meditate on it, and then you pray on it. And for me, I often, God, if there's anywhere, even things that I might have suppressed in my past, that I'm walking in unforgiveness, help expose the root of it so that I can heal and learn to move on. God bless you all. Thank you for allowing me to share. I'm enjoying the call.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And, you know, Shawan, she is so right. You really didn't do yourself justice on the age. So next time, leave that off, even with it being because he is so wonderful. He said, okay. But even with it being, it's not just for women, because, again, it's so life applicable. And I really mean that, not just because you're on the show, but it's life applicable. And I think that has a lot to do with you. I don't know if we got to go into explaining how this book came about. I think you hit a little bit on it, but not into great depth. But, see, that just shows people how, and you've heard God on this show a whole lot tonight. I mean, thank God. You've heard a lot. And that, if nothing else, it should allow you to see that people, we just need God in our lives. If it's not your thing, then just cover your ears right now. But as Shawan said, and I heard this on another show that I listened to that he did, again, and I mentioned this earlier, if you just allow God, what do you have to lose? I mean, if you just allow, just say, as Shawan did that night, he said, I was tired of going to my friends and all the other people. I went to God, and what God heard from him that night was, okay, my son is ready. And it took some lemons. It took some things to happen to draw him to his knees, or however he went before God and said, I'm coming to you. I don't want to go to my brother, my sister, my friend, my mother. I'm coming to you, God, because that's your creator. He knows and sees it all. So while we're out here trying to figure out where to go, when to go, how far to go, God's saying, if you just seek me and just allow me, if you knock, I will answer. If you take a few steps, I'll take plenty. If you just do that, like I call the young lady just said, you know, we all have a story. We've been through some things. Those things can shape us. Those things can make us. Those things can bring glory to God. You've heard, I'm so thankful that God's name has come out so much tonight, because it's in the midst of so many things happening. But that's how God does. God receives glory. God makes all things, bad things. He says, I will make your good, make your footstool, your enemies, you know, your, how is that? Y'all know what I'm saying. I'm getting so wrapped up.
That's your enemies, your footstool.
Your footstool, right. And all things work to the good. So it doesn't matter what you've been through, what your past was, he could bring that all up to the forefront and give you a platform for that, where you are speaking to people, helping people be delivered through him. So I just wanted to really just get that out before this show ends in any way. And thank you again, Carla, because that's how we grow. That's how we learn from each other. God is not glorified by we keeping our stuff in. When you're hurt, say you're hurt. When you need help, say you need help.
Amen.
Because someone, as Robin's voice, you know, she's speaking out. That's going to save some people. If it's one person that goes and does the next, by Shawan using his experience of being hurt, brokenhearted, heartache. We don't have to go through these things if we just allow people to teach us and show us how they got through some stuff. And I say, again, as long as we are willing to grow through what we go through, and that's not my statement, that's a statement from Tyree, I don't know, it's like the Coca-Cola guy. Grow through what you go through. As long as you're willing to do that and allow God to use you, you're good to go. Everything else is a wrap. So thank you, caller. Thank you. And we still have 10 minutes to go, so I say let's just make this a two-hour show again and y'all talk some more. Juwan, you have anything? I don't want to steal the show from you, but you have anything? And then if not, once you finish, we'll turn it back over to either of the callers. I still have both callers in.
It's definitely just been a great show. Definitely have looked forward to, again, just being on here and blessed to have been on here. And the one thing I can really get out of this whole situation thing that I had to go through is that, looking back, I now appreciate the process, but I also know that when you are disciplined enough and have the faith to go through the process without complaining, without wanting to quit, God is going to open up so many doors for you that you will never know. But the only way for you to see those doors open is that you have to be disciplined enough to continue on even when it looks hard. Even when it doesn't look so good, you got to just keep walking forward, and it's going to get better.
I like that. Appreciate the process. That's a good way to look at it. If you believe in God and have faith that God says all things work to the good, and He says consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy when you go through some stuff. If we think of it that way, hey, I'm just appreciating the process because I know the results. I know the end result. This is just a process. I love that. Appreciate the process. Okay,
yeah.
Well, let's see. Who do we have here? All right, I wanted to turn it back over to our 901 caller, 8714. And we also have you on. I don't know if you're still with us, caller from the 301-0565. So any last words from either of you?
Oh, well, for me, yes, I did sign that petition for Robin. I was able to do it right away, and I'm going to see and try to have some other people sign it too, if she's still listening. But I wanted to ask some more questions, but I know time is running out, and I didn't want to take any more time away from the next caller that hasn't said anything yet, so.
Well, we don't have any more. We have about 7 minutes. I'm glad you reminded me of that. What we'll do, Juwan, if you don't mind, let's give.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take his questions as well. But go ahead and give out your information as far as where they can find the book, how they can contact you. And then I'll post again on the site. If you don't mind, I'll post it on the show after the show. But go ahead and give that out to them so at least we won't lose that time. Then I'd like to make sure I give Robin's information out, and then we'll let the caller come back with his questions because we have more than enough time left.
Okay. Well, definitely you can purchase my book, Kissing Your Heartache Goodbye. You can purchase it on Amazon in paperback and Kindle. You can also purchase it on Barnes & Noble's online. It's not in the stores yet. You can purchase it on there. And you can also find me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook at Shawn Watson. That's Shawon. My last name is Watson, WATSON. And you can also find me on Twitter at Shawn A. Watson on Twitter. And if you have any questions, you want to add me as a friend on Facebook or on Twitter, definitely feel free to do that. You know, I answer as many questions as I possibly can for you. I reach out to you and help you and be a blessing to you as much as I possibly can.
And tell us again, you are an author, motivational speaker.
I'm an author, motivational speaker. But first of all, before I'm an author and motivational speaker, I am a man of God. That's my first title.
I remember hearing that on the show as well. Okay. Amen. All right. Want to make sure that you all have the information. And thank you, caller, for going out and signing the petition for Robin. But it's change.org. And all you have to do is enter in Idaho and Robin Edwards, three words. So her name is Robin Edwards, and just enter Idaho. And the petition is the only one there, and it's a very quick process. I did it in just a matter of seconds, actually. And please, don't just do it and stop. Please get your family members to do it, your friends. make them do it, because so often we'll have good intentions and we just lose sight of time and the days go long and go away. So please take it into work. Tell about the story. You don't ever know who you're talking to and who might know somebody that knows somebody that can do some things. So sign that petition. Look her up on Facebook. If you can't reach or forget all of this about Shawan or Robin, you can always send me a message and I'll get all the information to you. Thank you for hanging in here with us tonight. But we're going to just go on until we run out of time here. So we have 5 minutes. We're going to turn it back over to our question. I call her with this question. Caller, you still there with us at 901-871-4?
I just wanted to know, because I keep hearing older people, mature people keep saying, well, you know, I asked them, well, how do you know when you found the right one? Well, you just know. I mean, I don't know. It's just for some reason you just know. And to me, that doesn't really make any sense. I don't even understand what they're saying. So, I mean, can y'all elaborate that more for me?
Shawan, that's yours.
Well, even though I talk about relationships, I'm not perfect, but this is my experience from that. My whole thinking of that, the person, the right one, is, first of all, in your lifetime, you're going to run around a lot of people that look and seem like the right person, but they're not. They may have a certain expertise in a certain area, but they're not the right one. My thing is, I believe the right person is going to be the right person because that person is going to be able to accept you for you. That person is going to love you unconditionally. That person is going to compliment you. That person is going to motivate you. And that person is just, that person is going to be your best friend. And I'm a believer that your life partner, it's a requirement that your life partner be your best friend first. Hmm. And so that's my theory on that whole thing, is that you'll know, because not everyone can really deal with, I always say not everyone can really deal with your process, whether it's your career process. I know for me sometimes that if I'm going where I'm going, where God has taken me, not every woman can really go on this path because it takes a sacrifice on both sides. Mm-hmm. And so that's another way too. You'll know it's that person because they'll be willing to do to sacrifice just for you. Not everyone is gonna sacrifice just for you. Some people are gonna fall off on your journey because it's just, they just don't have the courage enough to be able to stay on. But that right person is gonna be able to stay right there, and they won't move.
My answer to that, and I just thought about it as you were talking, and I'm not gonna say it exactly right. I was actually looking for it, but I came across this quote that, and I'll try to find it, Carla, for you, because I can contact you. But, like, it was saying that we all are really the wrong person. It's just about finding the right wrong person for you. And that's kind of what you're saying to me in a sense. But it went a little bit deeper than that. So it's about finding the person who loves you for you. And when someone loves you unconditionally, that kind of love that if something happens to you, if you lose a limb or you get sick, you can for the most part, if you are in tune and know who you are and you not miss the major things, you know, do they have God in their life? Same kind of feel. So it's about, I love that quote when it says, just finding the right, wrong person for you. Because at some point in time, I can love you as much as I love you, but you're going to feel like I'm the wrong person from you on some days, but you're going to love me anyway because, you know, I'm tripping today. And that goes back to saying, that lady saying, we didn't allow each other to fall out of love at the same time. So look for someone who has all those qualities that Shawan said and work, be willing to work at it. So we have talked our way down to the last 60 seconds. I want to say thank you for just everybody for tuning in with us tonight. It has been a very enlightening and informative show. I'm just elated over the number of people out there even now, as late as it is. And some of you are listening from Eastern Standard Time Zone, and it's 11 o'clock. So we're down to the last 30-something seconds. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of the Butterfly Evolution family. If you've not registered to be a follower of the show, please go out and do that. Please remember to sign the petition. please do purchase Shawan's book. I'm going to ask him to come back on and maybe talk about the book again later or do another round of this because it went so well. Thank you all for tuning in. Shawan, thank you. Beverly,
thank you for having me.
Robin, thank you. Robin, you are in our prayers. Go get them. We want to hear your voice on top of the hill. We want to hear your voice. So thank you all for tuning in to the Butterfly Evolution Show. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.